Hi, this is Jamie Orlando. I decided to record an interview with my friend Stick Boy. He's a musician, composer, whatever you want to call him. I met him when he was living in Dover, Delaware. He's since moved to Atlantic City, but we still keep in touch. And Stick Boy, Frank is his name, Frank Ross. He's got a really interesting style. He actually has several styles that he does. And I've always just really been amused by his music and been friends with him for about 6 or 7 years. And I thought it would be fun to do a tribute album for Frank and to just get a bunch of friends together and cover his music. So that's what I did. And I'm not very fast at putting out music, so it probably took the better part of 3 years for me to get this done. But I can say it's done now. The tapes are made. It's on Bandcamp. It's ready to go. The official release date is December 1st, 2020. So it's November 29th today. And just decided to have a little chat with Frank, so that people that get this tape, you know, if you're not familiar with Frank's music, so you could get a little bit more familiar with his music, and also sort of get to know Frank too, and learn a little bit more about him and where he's coming from. So I got Frank on Facebook Messenger. What's up, Frank?
Hey.
Hey. So just for the people that aren't aware, I live in Delaware. That's also the home of Tabs Out and also like a little experimental, quote unquote, music scene here. We do shows once a month at a place called Newark Bike Project, which is literally a bike shop. And that's been going on for a really long time now. I came on about 7 years ago, but the shows were happening even before I met those people in basements and other bike shops and things like that. So I met you, Frank, about, I would say, 7 years ago? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, something like that. I was in Dover from 2010 to 2016.
Yeah, yeah. And there was, basically, when I first started coming to the shows, like, right after I started coming, some people from Dover started coming out, too. And that was Neil and Castle, our friends. And those were the people that introduced us, I suppose.
Yeah, they were musically collaborating at the time. The Dancehall Neil versus Mr. Castle.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you come to meet those guys?
Probably through Dover Newsstand or Acorn Books or one of those places.
So you just were browsing the shelves in there and you saw another person that looked like a little bit of a weirdo and you said, "Hey,
yeah.
I should get talking."
Yeah.
Yeah, so like not soon afterwards, you started pretty much becoming a regular at these shows. I think those two guys were a little bit shy at first. You know, they would come out to the shows and they would sort of keep to themselves and hang out in a corner. And then I saw you. But over time, I feel like the little cliques started to break down, I guess. And, you know, we started talking. You know, I got to talking with you and I got to see you perform a few times, a couple times with Neil, but a few solo shows as well.
Maybe click wouldn't be the right. There's a, I don't know if you've ever heard the term coconut culture.
No.
And peach culture.
Uh-uh.
I'm studying French, and there's a site, there's a YouTube thing called Comment Français, which means like a French woman, where she teaches French and about culture, not only about how to speak French, but about French culture, and the difference between French culture and American culture, and in French culture is more like the coconut culture is where people are maybe reserved, and maybe not inclined to blend in right away. They want to know you before they fully like, "Hey, I'm into this stuff."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whereas as the peach culture is people are just very from the start. They're, "Hey, I'm into this. You know, I've known you 5 seconds and I'm telling you about personal details about my life."
And maybe click was too harsh of a term because, you know, everybody at these shows is pretty friendly with one another, but you know,
yeah.
You do see like little, clusters here and there of people that know each
yeah.
other better hanging out. So
yeah,
I was just kind of curious. You have a very diverse style. I saw you do a solo performance of just Toy Xylophone. I've also seen, well, I haven't really seen you perform it because I don't really know if it's performable, but your electronic music from this program called Pocket Band.
Yeah. Pocket Band, it was an app. The Pocket Band people took it down. I guess they weren't making money or something. That there was Pocket Band, and then there was Pocket Band Plus.
Uh-huh.
That, see, what it is, it's like a sequencer program that, you know, you pick your instrument, and you pick your time signature, you can pick your beats per minute, you can do all of this. It's very sad that it went away, and I hope that if this interview should magically reach the ears of anyone that was involved with creating Pocket Band, that I hope that they will bring it back. Because it was like the greatest app, that a music app that I've come across.
Huh.
No joke, no hyperbole. No, they not only did they have the, was it like a music creating app, but they had a community thing where you could share your thing with the other Pocket Band community. You could probably, I think you could share it with like Facebook and all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And if you got Pocket Band Plus, you could get like cello and all of these additional features and stuff. You know, I just stuck with the basic, you know, it was good enough. And the whole thing was that the reason I got into Pocket Band, the intention was that the pieces were supposed to be song starters. He had a band at the time, the Mutant Cadavers, with JD and Dex and Ja. The idea was that to create this song and then micro songs and then present them and then just have, you know, okay, we can branch out from there and we can, I mean, that didn't happen, so.
Yeah, but the stuff that you made in Pocket Band is, I would call it electronic music.
Yeah.
But it's different than anything I've heard, and it almost reminds me of early Nintendo music.
Yeah.
It's real intense. There's like a real sense of urgency in it, but it's very 8-bit sounding.
Yeah, I had I did the one thing that I called Tribal Contra. It was like a play on words, tribal, like tribal music, and Contra, like the game Contra, also Contra in like the, I guess, maybe military sense or whatever.
The, right.
They let you do remixes on Pocket Band. Like you create a song and then you copy it and then you alter the copy so that you have your original version and then you have your alternate version. So I had Tribal Contra Rapid Fire.
Nice.
When I was a kid, I had the NES Advantage.
Oh, I remember that, the big controller.
Yeah, and you had the Rapid Fire thing on it where, you know, you just hold down the button instead of having to push it over and over.
It was called Turbo.
Turbo, yeah.
I was actually going to ask you about if you ever like played a lot of old NES. So that's good.
Mm.
So how about this? I was mentioning we had a lot of different styles of music, but since we're sort of on this Pocket Band style right now, I'm going to play just a couple of tracks. You did an album called Twist.
Yeah.
Which I actually don't even have a copy of that. Basically, when I was doing this tribute album, Castle ended up sending me a copy of it. But I have a couple other of your Pocket Band albums. I think I have one called 8 Tracks and Twist.
Yeah.
That you did on Dancehall Neil's label. And then there's another one called Forever Frank Inversion, which I think is another one on Neil's label.
Mm.
This is from the Twist album. I'm not sure if there's still a way to get this one, if you still have copies of this.
I probably have a copy, but I don't have any. I don't have means to making copies anymore.
All right, I'm going to play the first 2 tracks of this album. The first one's called Volt Revolt AC, and the second one's called Simple Synth 3-4. And they're about minute-long tracks each. I'll just play those right now. We'll be right back. That's it.
Yeah, those are actually remixes, Volt Revolt, and then the AC remix, and then Simple Synth, the three-quarter remix, being that, like, that the I named the Volt Revolt, that there was that Vox makes a thing called an Amplug, and there's a chintzy knockoff that I found out about before the chintzy knockoff thing first, and that was called Volt Revolt. I don't know the name of the company that makes Volt Revolt. Simple Synth, I went with, like, the little Skinner.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, it's spelled S-Y-M-P-L-E.
Yeah, and I think the three-quarter was, like, I think it was in three-quarter time.
It's a waltz.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure if you really mentioned it, but Pocket Band, that was an app for your phone, right?
Yeah.
And so was it sort of just like a grid, and you just drew notes on there?
You pick your instrument, and then, like, say you pick bass, and it'll have, like, each note, it'll have the vertical line of each of the notes, like A sharp, B, C, etc. And then it'll go across, and there's, like, all these little blocks, and you push on the block that you want the note to hit, and so it'll, you know, you just fill in the blocks, and then you play it back, and then, you know, you change the blocks to, you know, however you want it to sound, and then you can start off with whichever instrument you want, and then you add another instrument, and you can play back the first instrument while you're doing the thing on the second one. So it's like, okay, well, this sounds good with this. This doesn't sound good. You know, it's like having someone there. It's like being in a band situation, and, you know, okay, play this beat or this riff or whatever again, and then I'm going to try to match something to it. You don't have to have any kind of musical ability. You have an ear, and you know what sounds good, then that's the thing. There's another thing on YouTube called Bass Buzz, and there was a thing about Steve Harris. He did a video about Steve Harris from Iron Maiden, and he said in an interview in 1983 that he doesn't know what scales are, and it's just, you know, that he developed his style just from having a good ear.
Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah, I would say if anybody listening to this can help me and or Frank hunt down a copy of Pocket Band, that would be amazing, because I would definitely love to get in there and play around with it. And I also would love to see Frank compose more works in there, because that's really among my favorite of your stuff. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I would really like to see, you know, live performances of either something that I'm involved in or something somebody else is involved in, where it's like a live version of, it doesn't have to be exact, but, you know, a live version of something that was started from a Pocket Band thing.
So maybe let's talk about your, like, songwriting stuff, because it seems like maybe you started getting into that. You might have a history with that, but I wasn't aware of it until about maybe 5 years ago. And you just sort of came out with all these songs like Inferno and Dead in South Jersey and The Burrow and all these really cool, like, I guess they're punk-inspired songs, but they're, like, very lo-fi, really gritty and aggressive and fast and short songs.
Yeah. Dead in South Jersey. I was in a band called The Mutant Cadavers. And JD said, I want you to write lyrics. And you're like, okay. So I wrote the lyrics, and that we did the song a few times, and I think we played it at a few shows. And then after the band broke up, it was like, okay, well, I still have the lyrics, you know, and, you know, I didn't want to do other Mutant Cadaver songs because, I mean, they're his lyrics, and, you know, don't want to create issue or whatever. So I figure, okay, well, you know, I wrote the lyrics for this, and, you know, I'm sure that the music that I put to it is probably different from, you know, from anything that he wrote.
Right.
So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that it was as much of my creation as possible.
Did you play drums in that band?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I knew you were a drummer, and I think that's sort of where the name Stick Boy comes from.
Yeah, that's part of it. I was actually kind of playing drums before I was even in a band.
Okay.
There was this thing. Can you see that?
Yeah.
That I'll move it over. Now, what I did was I took a recycle bucket and I duct taped an apron to it. And I put the duct tape over the cover so that the sticks wouldn't puncture. And those aren't even really real drumsticks. They're tent spikes.
Oh, really?
I was a kid and I was almost bored. I had to do something. But anyway, I made a cassette tape. And I've heard that there's actual people that have never seen an actual picture, like everything that it's been phoned.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you look on the back, that's Kodak paper.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I wrote down, you know, the date and the song listings and stuff. And most of it's just drum solos and just me, it's like doing a cappella and, you know, whatever. I did a little diary thing or like journal or whatever. So I was like talking on the tape. I haven't listened to it in forever, but I'm talking about like what happened that day or whatever.
Oh man, you should put that out. I would love to hear that.
Okay. And the stick boy, the name came from Beavis and Butthead.
Uh-huh.
That if you ever see the episode where they went to the gym and the big muscle head guy, he was like, "Give me a spot, stick boy."
Okay.
and just watch the episode. It's very funny. But and then I was in. I got into music. I got into my first band. Oddly, from an odd sequence of events, that I was at work and my coworker suggested I buy a guitar because everything I talked about was music. I bought the guitar. And I guess it wasn't my friend, as Yo-Yo Ma would say. So another friend suggested I get a bass. So I got the bass, and then after I got you couldn't really find people to play with. And then I found my neighbors at the time, they played guitar and bass and they had a drummer. So I figured, okay, well, I'll get a drum set so I can be in the band.
Yeah.
And then we played for a summer, and that band broke up. And then I was in a succession of bands playing drums for like 10 years, and I was playing drums up until Mutant Cadavers. I had a band with Neil.
What was that called? Was that Exile?
No, okay. It wasn't Exile. Exile. But trying to think of the name of the thing. The name escapes me of our collaboration. Yeah, Exile. It was funny about that. We thought we were metal. We thought we were Burzum, but we were probably closer to Masana than. But
that I think I have that on like a 3-inch CDR. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. I really like that record.
Oh, thank you.
And you play drums on that as well?
Yeah. And it's funny that my bass player at the time, he thought of the name. We were a duo before that called Slug. And so things we brought somebody in the band, and then the band, you know, that didn't work out. And so the name Slug became tarnished because of the association with the other person, and so we brought in another person, and we wanted to change the name, just like, you know, how Birthday Party was Boys Next Door, and then like they didn't like who they were, you know, the, like what the name had meant to them or whatever it was. So anyway, he named the band Exile, and you know, we were inevitably mispronounced as Exile.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
and I was thinking about how hardcore bands, that they'll do the phonetic spelling or something. Like they'll have like, they'll kill the band like Broken, but it'll be like B-R-O hyphen K-I-N. So anyway, yeah, we spell the band name X-Y-I-L-E. But anyway, it went to Exile, and then we actually had kind of a Siamese twin band. Because the guitarist we had for Exile, that I was in another band, and with him, and then Exile broke up, and then he had songs of his own, and then I met up with JD, and neither of the guys wanted to concede to the other one. So we had averse reaction in Target Society. And then with JD being the dominant in person in, you know, Target Society, and then Chris being a dominant person in averse reaction, and each playing on it with the same lineup. And it was kind of, and then Chris became a father, and averse reaction was over, and averse reaction Target Society was over. So JD decided to do something. He wanted to do something, you know, while he was, because he thought that Chris was going to get a come back to the band thing. But so he started Mutant Cadavers. Like, I technically wasn't an original member, so then I came in, and then he said, "Oh, let's move to Dover." I'm like, "Okay," and then the rest is history.
Is that how you made your way to Dover? Is the band brought you there?
Yeah, me and JD.
No way, I didn't know that.
Me and JD, and his girlfriend.
Okay, yeah, I always thought that it was like work that took you there.
I transferred. I was thankfully, I'm not a fan in any way of like corporations and stuff, but the one advantage of working for a company, a corporate business, is that having different locations, and you can say, all right, well, I need to go here and there.
Uh-huh.
I need to change my location, and you're set up. You know, whereas if you work for mom and pop or something, then that's like,
yeah,
you know, you're just kind of stuck. That you have to like start from scratch, you know, when you get to your new location or something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So that's awesome. I definitely just learned a lot about your history and some of the bands you were in and like what sort of brought you to Dover. So those were actually some questions I was going to ask you. So we got those out of the way.
Okay.
I want to get back into sort of some of your songs that you've done recently in the past 5 years. So I was actually going to play like, and you know, for people who don't know Frank, if you come to a show and Frank is there, he's going to have this like vest full of homemade CDRs and cassettes, and he goes around handing them out. So I have like, I probably have like 10 or 15 of these things, like these handmade CDRs that are photocopied, and you have like a very specific sort of aesthetic or style to them. So yeah, I found a couple tracks off these things. The first song I wanted to play was Notes from the Underground from the AC/NJ 330/18 album. So I'm assuming this is from some performance at a bar somewhere in Atlantic City.
It's actually my bedroom. I was, a bedroom or music room or something that that I just put AC/NJ, you know, because it's just because it's, I'm in Atlantic City, and it's the shortest means of designating location.
Okay, so we'll play that first, and then there's another track called The Burrow that I really like, and that's from an album called Acoustic 517. So you get to hear sort of like the electric version of Frank's songs and the acoustic version of Frank's songs. And I believe you're playing bass and bass drum on one and then just acoustic guitar on the other one.
Yeah.
So we'll play those right now.
Sleep, society is good, sometimes it's all obsessed, 2 o'clock in the elevator, by living was how I thrive. Society is schism, sanity is solipsism. Tunnel, won't you finally leave society behind me? Machinery will not climb me. Society is schism, sanity is solipsism.
I you use the word aesthetic a lot. I thank you for that. The thing is that I don't really think of my, you know, what I'm doing as, you know, beautiful. But it's just, it's that I'm kind of working with, you know, working within my limitations, in that, like, you know, I only have so much, you know, musical ability and so much in regards to means to create things. But my friend Spencer Green, that anybody that's in Dover probably knows who Spencer Green is, that he has a home recording studio, and he recorded me recently, and we're, you know, it should be out at some point. That he really did an awesome job. It's a silk purse, you know.
Is this the like the Pro Tools sessions that I've been hearing Castle talk about?
No, the Pro Tools thing was when I was in Summers Point, New Jersey. There was one of my supervisors had a Sony Vega, and he was and he had like a billion guitars, and you know, he really knows his stuff. He recorded, you know, I mentioned to him that I make music, and so he recorded me with the Sony Vega. To be honest, like half of it is like my vocals are, you know, that I contributed the vocals, but as far as like the music is concerned, I played him, you know, the riffs and stuff on the bass, and then he played them and then recorded them. So, you know, I apologize for any disingenuousness. He made that sound really good. That
I don't know if I've heard it. Have you? Did you ever release any of it?
I handed it out to a good amount of people. That was actually how I got the No Age gig. Was that I went to 1984.
R.I.P.
Oh, really?
They had to, yeah, for the pandemic. No. I know, it's one of the last great venues in Delaware for doing like the kind of music we do.
No, they had ski ball and Tetris, and you know, they had a ski beer tournament. Yeah. They're like, you know, they had a cloak and dagger game that, like, I mean, it wasn't plugged in and stuff. I was always keeping my fingers crossed and hopefully one day it would get fixed and it'd be. But anyway, 1984, that I would go there pretty regularly, you know, see bands and stuff. And they're like, here's my stuff. Here's what, you know, what I'm doing. And that one of the bands was No Age. I just it just happened to have handed the No Age guy. I think his name's Dean. I happened to have handed him the Sony Vega recording, and you know, as opposed to like one of the, like my home recordings, which probably would have been just thrown away. But anyway, he liked it and got in touch on Facebook and started talking and stuff, and he got me a gig at the Unitarian Church that you and Castle were at. Recorded it.
I forget if I record. I guess I must have recorded it because I usually bring my recorder to shows. That was a really fun show. And if I could just say a couple words, like for people that don't know, like the First Unitarian Church is actually a pretty legit venue. Bands like, you know, I saw Pelican play there. I've seen Colin Stetson. You know, I know Dillinger Escape Plan has played there a few times. I actually didn't make it to that show. The Melvins have played there. Like a lot of bands have played that room, and it's actually a pretty big stage. And I would say the show that you played, there's probably 100 people or more there. And everybody really was into it. People, you know, you're never there to see the opener. And when they see you up on stage, and by the way, you had a really unique setup that night with the a bass drum. You had your bass guitar with like maybe two strings on it. And then you had this big poster with all the song lyrics that you put on the front of the bass drum.
Yeah.
But, so I think it was like that was immediately a spectacle and people became very curious about your act. And I just remember you playing. And I usually see you in very small venues. And this one was a professional venue with like a huge PA system. And it was really fun to see your music coming out of that. And especially like when you would hit the distortion pedal, you know, that bass would really get cranked up and, you know, you could really feel it in that room. So that was a super fun show. Maybe I can play play a recording. Do you remember what date that was?
Okay. I don't know.
I probably have it here on my phone. I just need to, you know, I'll go back and I'll inject one of the live tracks from that show into this interview.
Okay.
So, awesome.
They're still cooking. You want fries with that?
But yeah, that No Age show is really, and those guys were really cool. I remember we got there kind of early and me, you, and Castle were sort of chatting with the drummer and they were being like really accommodating to you and, you know, giving you a lot of compliments. Mm-hmm. So that was super cool of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hate to keep talking, but I'd like to talk really quick about this compilation. It's called Nativity and Frank, a tribute to Stick Boy, which is kind of a play on the Nativity and Black album from the 90s of the Black Sabbath album.
Yeah.
People don't get that reference. Anyway, you know, I've seen like John Zorn over the years put out a lot of tribute albums to like, you know, he did one to Mark Bolan, he did one to Burt Bacharach, etc. But I haven't really seen tribute albums. Maybe I'm just missing them, but I haven't really seen that in like the DIY experimental community. So I thought it would be really cool to do something like that. And I picked your music because I thought it would be really fun to have a blend of the sort of pocket band styles and the songwriting styles and just to hear what like sort of our friends would how they would interpret that. And so I think the album is it's like 12 tracks or so. It's a whole bunch of different styles, like ranging from like noise to like a singer-songwriter to like heavier to lo-fi, a lot of different styles, electronic music, like dark wave type stuff. And that's actually the track I'm going to play is Inferno, which is my favorite track off the tribute album. And that's done by the artist Hidden Garden, who is actually Casey Grabowski, who, if rest in peace. This was actually the last song he ever recorded. I don't think any of us expected that to be the case, but he was just getting really sick. And I would go over to his house maybe every week, every other week to visit. And it was sort of, I was putting this out. I kept on telling him about it. I was like, hey, man, like, do you think you might want to do a track? And he's like, I don't know. I don't really know his music very well, blah, blah, blah. And then finally I was like, why don't you just do a track? Like, do whatever you want. And he did. He did this track called Inferno. And it's such a cool track. And one thing to mention real quick, when you hear the guitars on this song, you hear these birds chirping in the background. That's actually his, he was recording it like upstairs, like in his living room. That's where he would like spend most of his time. And the birds would just chirp away when he was doing it. So it's kind of cool to hear those birds on the recording. Mm. So yeah, Casey was a super talented musician and, you know, it's awesome. It's like such an honor to like have him on this. I'm sure for you too, Frank.
We'll
play this. If you want to pick up the tape, I mailed a bunch of copies to Frank. I also have it on Bandcamp. My quote unquote label is called Firmament Tapes. So it's Firmament, F-I-R-M-A-M-E-N-T tapes at bandcamp.com. You can download. I do all my digitals as free downloads. So go on there, download it. If you can't, you know, if you can't afford, or if you don't want to, you know, download it for free, otherwise chip in a few bucks. Or, you know, get the tapes while they still last. I think it's like a C27 or something. It came out really cool. So without further ado, this is the track Inferno by Hidden Garden.
I am the way into the city of woe. I am the way to a forsaken people. I am the way into eternal sorrow. Abandon all hope, all you enter here. Cerebus, the ravening beast, howls thrice over those sunk in this place. Claw hands, beard greased with phlegm, rips the wretches, flays and mangles them. Into the depths of Dante's Inferno, it is here you reap what you sow. Into the depths of Dante's Inferno, it is here you reap what you sow. Slime and vapor arose, sickening my eyes and hammering my nose. River of excrement, people in lines, from the overflow of the world's latrines. Into the depths of Dante's Inferno, it is here you reap what you sow. Into the depths of Dante's Inferno, it is here you reap what you sow. On march the banner of the king of hell, at the core of Psychotis' frozen shell. In the mouth he worked a broken sinner, torment three guesses eternal. Into the depths of Dante's Inferno, it is here you reap what you sow. Into the depths of Dante's Inferno, it is here you reap what you sow.
I just wanted to mention that all of the lyrics in that, except for the chorus, are extracts from actual Dante's Inferno. Well, the English translation of Dante's Inferno, not the original, not the Latin. Or not,
Italian.
Not the Italian. Italian. I'd originally thought that it was Latin, but I'd found out that that Dante had written it in Italian, because he wanted it to be read by the average person, not just the
learned.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, I love that track. It's very like graphic. The lyrics are super graphic, and I know I've read that like a long time ago, but I don't remember like the overflow of the world's latrines. That's like it's disgusting. You know, that's a raw lyric there. So anyway, Frank, I just wanted to ask you what the future holds for you. Like what direction? I know that you were talking about, you recorded some stuff with Spencer Green. What else do you have coming up on the horizon?
I'm working on songs and I know some people ask artists, do you do covers or do you do originals? And what I do is I blend them. Sometimes I blend covers with other covers, and other times that I'll, you know, have an original song that I'll blend a cover into it. like the there's a Dead in South Jersey for the bridge. I put in spray paint by Black Flag.
Okay.
Other songs that
I know you've done one of like a sort of a Frank Sinatra, and it goes into Pantera.
Oh yeah, I haven't done that in a while. That's I did That's Life with A New Level. That like instead
okay yeah
instead of the because the Frank Sinatra line was like a you know I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn, and a king, you know, and I heard the flow, the cadence of that, and I thought about it. I recall remembered A New Level by Pantera. I've been pissed on, shit on, stepped on, fucked with, you know. So what I did was I did the cover of it is verses, Frank Sinatra, and then put in Pantera as the chorus.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm always trying to work on different stuff. My friend Julia, that she goes by a million names. It's even hard to keep up. But she writes stuff. She has stuff on SoundCloud under the one name is Creep Fancy, another one is Demshook, another. It's really hard to
keep. Uncomfortable.
Yeah, uncomfortable. That. I mean, she does tons of stuff, and it's all different. And I mean, she does stuff that which some stuff doesn't have any vocals, some stuff has distorted vocals, some stuff has like just her actual. She has a very 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 beautiful bassy kind of voice, and in some of it's like just her. It's you know she uses her natural voice. She's on YouTube. She did some readings of Edgar Allan Poe. And Poe, awesome. You know, my good friend Castle, he gave me a complete Poe collection. It's just awesome, awesome, awesome. I don't know if you can see that there's like books and stuff. It's like these little books from like 1904, and the last volume actually has an index. So if you want to, you like something in the one of the other volumes or whatever, or if you want to know where something is, you know, say you want to read the Gold Bug. And, you know, you don't want to look through, like, all 10 volumes. You just look in the index. But, yeah, it has his poems. It has his criticisms. It has, like every word that he ever wrote is probably somewhere in these in these little volumes. And, like, just that they've survived and that they're in all in good condition for being from 1904. Like, you know.
That's insane.
Yeah, and I'm working on a new Poe thing that I was rereading House of Usher, and Julia did a reading of The Haunted Palace, which is the poem featured in The House of Usher, and I'm hoping that at one point that we'll be able to put the parts together, that it would be my version, the House of Usher thing, and then it'll go into her reading The Haunted Palace. I don't know if you, the Doors, they had they did Light My Fire. There's a live version of Light My Fire that has Graveyard Poem in it, where he's like,
okay.
I don't know if you've heard it. Probably heard it.
No, I have not.
It's on In Concert. Well, I mean, it was originally on another live album, but they took like the best of the best of the live albums. And anyway, he's doing Light My Fire, and then the part where like it was on the album where it would go into the solo, he's like, you know, he goes into this reading this poem. You know, it was the greatest night of my life, and yet I still had not found a wife and all this and. I love that blend of like of singing and then going into poetry, that but yeah, and also Poe was Notes from the Underground, for the bridge. I took an excerpt from Spirits of the Dead, the Poe poem. Thy soul shall find itself alone, mid dark thoughts of the gray tombstone. Not one of all the crowd to pry into thine hour of secrecy, I think it was the first stanza. But yeah, Notes from the Underground was based on, you know, the Dostoevsky novella. I took the chorus from, like, I think it was the first line in the novella. I am a sick man. I am a spiteful man. I am an unattractive man.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know any of that. Oh, so okay. That's cool. That's a cool little, you know, filling in the blanks for me.
Yeah.
So what track are you going to play? You're going to play, you said, like, an Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah. I'm going to play a short, kind of an intro track, and then the Poe track. But there was I looked up the bass chords to Sleepwalk by Santo and Johnny, and I was also thinking about Tales from the Dark Side, the old TV show. It was like Tales from the Crypt, but before Tales, kind of when Tales from the Crypt was kind of in their down years. That the comics lasted from 1949 to 1953, and then EC Comics, you know, the only surviving entity was Mad Magazine, and so it was kind of this, you know, between 1953 and, like, whenever the early 90s or something, there was kind of this period where you know, Tales from the Crypt was a cult thing. But anyway, Tales from the Dark Side came up, and I don't think there's any relation to it. They're just inspired by it. Anyway, I like the theme song of Tales from the Dark Side, and then the Poe thing is called Poe Traits of the Fall. It's a play on a couple of plays on words, because I combined the Fall of the House of Usher and the Oval Portrait, and, like, Poe traits, like, you know, Poe, his name, and, you know, also, like, Poe as an, you know, portraits, but P-O, you know, apostrophe T-R-A-I-T-S, But anyway, okay, here it is. My song in word, it leads to be reality. But there is some scene that marks an underworld that is just as real, but not as brightly lit. A dark side. From Kyle suspended, for the truth to resonate. For Perez touch from you, hear him resonate. In the autumn of my years, in the autumn of the year, descending upon the House of Usher. The bowels resembling the haunted fear. It poses Lady Madeline of Usher. So let it be spoken, so let it be done. Incantation of Madeline. So let it be spoken, so let it be done. Consolation of a childhood friend. Out of death. One mistake for madness is merely cuteness of the senses. Imprisoned in the house of Usher. Once in sick of blindness, vita mortis sumus, mist of life we are in death, etc. So let it be spoken, so let it be done. Consolation of a childhood friend. So let it be spoken, so let it be done. Incantation of my life, power of death. An attempt at a vicious mitigation of the tempest grievance by a reading rainbow. An evisceration from flesh to canvas by the painless stroke. Lovely portrait that he drew, and a dirty Dorian gray, a morbid countenance and lively hues, her essence in the frame. Okay. That's just kind of a rough thing. I know I made a couple of mistakes, I guess. But it's new, so,
I don't know the tune, so I can't tell, but that definitely was really vibey.
Oh.
A lot of your stuff is really fast paced, and that was.
I try to mix things up to try to not get locked into a thing. I have a I wrote another song called Ramone's Clone. It's on.
That's on the tribute. Yeah.
I was. I have friends that do pop punk, so there's no disrespect to them. It's just that the thing is that the reason why I wrote it was because it just seems like such an influx of, at the time, there's such an influx of pop punk bands. You had, Screeching Weasel and Queers and Pink Lincolns and Lillingtons and like all of these. It seemed like it was I'm becoming auditory diabetic, with the overload of pop punk. But so I would try not to get locked into a thing where, it's like to be able to have some songs that are really short and punchy, and then other songs that are dramatic, and then the other, so there's always this shifting, or always just this morphing.
Yeah.
But
you want to do another track?
Do you have a favorite? Do you have another song that you like, or do you want me to do?
Well, since we're talking about the Ramones, why don't you do a Ramones Clone?
Okay. All right. Back in 1974. Brothers from Queens play like no one before. Labor bands got a little low. Everyone wants to be a Ramones clone. Sex and drugs and blood and guts. Nazis, cannibals, male coke sluts. Songs that chill down to the bone. No one has the guts to be a Ramones clone. Joy, Johnny, Tommy, Dee Dee and Moore branched out into new wave and hardcore. Instead of aspiring to the throne, why not try to create your own throne?
Nice. And then on the tribute album, my friend Conrad Cam did that one, and it's
he added verses. I appreciate that. I love that people when they that they take something and they'll put their own twist. There was a not to in any way compare myself to the Dead Kennedys, but the Dead Kennedys had a tribute album called Virus 100.
Oh, I have that.
Then you know that there is like all of this stuff on all this different kinds of stuff on it. I mean, you have everything from a cappella to like death metal to like.
I think Napalm Death is on that one, right?
They do Nazi punks fuck off. And yeah. Jello, there's a live performance of Jello with Napalm Death doing Nazi Trumps fuck off.
Trumps, yeah. I saw that. That was recent. That was like in the last couple of years. I saw that.
And you know, there's cowpunk. Like that's maybe kind of an overlooked genre. That Evan Johnson is H Bombs. So you're Winnebago Warrior. I'm pretty sure that it's like cowpunk is like the blending country and punk rock. But I don't know how much time you have.
I was thinking of wrapping it up pretty soon. I think I'm really curious. Like, you know, I have access to your music because I see you. Well, I haven't seen you in about a year because of COVID.
Yeah.
But, you know, before that, I was seeing you about once a month, once every other month. Even though you live in Atlantic City, you tend to come to Delaware quite a bit.
Mm.
So I have access to your music. For the people out there listening to this that want to hear more of your music, you know, I sometimes say like, oh, check out like the Mother May Noise Bandcamp page. There's a couple Frank albums on there. But like, you know, do you have a web presence of any kind?
I have stuff on SoundCloud that if you go to SoundCloud and you type in Frank Ross Stick Boy, either or, you can type in Frank Ross or you can type in Stick Boy. My stuff will come up. I'm the little punk rock Charlie Brown. They had when the Peanuts movie came out, there was a site called Peanutize Yourself, where you know you can make yourself into a Peanuts character. You pick your clothes and your hairstyle and all of this stuff. And so I went. That's where I put that together from. You can also check out Julia's stuff on. I mentioned the Demshook and Uncomfortable and.
And you appear on some of those tracks?
I think so. I also almost forgot to mention Rotten Princess Records, that they put out a series of compilations. MK Ultra. MK Ultra. There's three volumes right now. I don't think volume three is up on Bandcamp yet. But I'm on that, and Julia is on that. She had a song. She actually did not only a song, but a remix of a song called Life's a Glitch, and Then You Die. And so I wrote words for a coda to it. And on the third volume of the compilation, there's her track, and then there's my coda to it, right behind
okay.
it.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I'll try to put some of those, I'll try to put a bunch of links in the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it seems like you feel fairly comfortable about sharing your email.
Oh, yeah.
I did put it in the, liner notes of the tape that I put out, but, I'll put that in the show notes too. So if anybody wants to, you know, say hi to Frank or chat music or see if Frank has any, recordings they can send, they can reach out to Frank directly.
Stickboyfrank1977@gmail.com.
Excellent. Frank, it's been awesome talking to you. It's been great, you know, getting to know a little bit more about you, and I'm really happy to have finally completed this project that's been lurking over me for the past few years. So my apologies that it took so long to come out.
It's fine, you know. It's things that life happens, you know.
Yeah. I had a kid, and then, during the pregnancy and up to the first 2 years of her life, I was just like sort of taking a pause and, being really slow about things, but I'm sort of getting back into the swing of music again. Mm. And, this is a great thing to put out at the end of 2020 to at least say I did something in 2020. Hey, so I think at the end of this show today, I'm going to play a few tracks, after we're done talking. I'm going to play Dirty Old Man, Fast and Hard, which is some of the pocket band stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to play an acoustic version of Do You Want Fries With That, which is one of your tracks that I love. That has the lyrics to that are like really like They almost remind me of like a Fulci, like gore horror type type stuff.
That the song is supposed it's about like a zombie fast food restaurant because like our theme when we were cadavers was zombies, and so I was thinking about like how you know fast food I work in fast food, so I'm not dissing fast food people, but I'm saying, like, you know, the perception is, you know, fast food employees being, you know, zombie-like, you know, being slacker or whatever. And so that the thing about being, you know, the zombie is that the zombie fast food restaurant where they serve brains, and the guy's waiting for waiting in line for a long time because they're. The employees are zombies and they're moving slowly, and he's just getting more and more irate because he's hungry and wants the zombies and wants the brains. And so, but the version that I'm doing now, I changed the chorus to Sauvien, voulez-vous des frites avec ça, which means it's coming. You want fries with that? Yeah,
freedom fries.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, I'll play that song, and then I'm also gonna play because I have these in my collection, and since we brought them up in the interview, I'll play a track by Exile, and then I'll also play a track by Mutant Cadavers.
Okay.
And if I can hunt it down, I'll play it. If there's anything on Julia's SoundCloud with you and her playing, maybe I'll play something from that as well.
Okay.
So anyway, so that should be 4 or 5 tracks that come up after this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Again, Frank, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Same here.
And hope you're doing well.
Same here.
Yep. All right, cool. All right. I'll talk to you later then.
All right.
See ya. Yeah.
Still cooking. You want fries with that? Flesh and bones just isn't enough. You can taste for brains. You need that stuff. And wait much longer to be short staffed. They're still cooking. You want fries with that? Some of the fingers forbid it all. The appetizer, full main course. Peak dessert for a few bucks more. They're still cooking. You want fries with that?
Thank you. turned on us all.
The tide has turned on us all. All right. Let's go for it. Human-alien hybrid, perfect chemistry.